what's the best resource for help in times of trouble? Pastor Xavier Rees with the simple truth.
There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You're in the hands of the Lord, and sometimes you think that all things are against you. Isn't that what Jacob said? Oh, all things are against me, when he heard that Joseph was killed and Benjamin was going to go to Egypt. No. Romans 8 says, God is for us. Who can be against us? There is no counsel, no wisdom against the counsel of the Lord.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Rees, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. There seems to be countless resources dedicated to helping you get ahead in life or cheering you on to stay ahead of the competition. Well, it's true, we're often in need of some good advice. But did you know the best place to go for help might be right in front of you? Today, Pastor Xavier picks up our verse-by-verse series of the book of Proverbs for more important simple truths for godly living in an ungodly world. Let's listen.
Chapter 20, verse 2 says, "The fear of the king is as a roaring lion," sort of like the one we covered before. "Whosoever provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul." In other words, he's adding to his own hurt. "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." You ever meet people like that, just edging you on? Always thinking cool. It's always pushing their luck. Pretty soon they reap to what they sow. "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8 that if you don't work, you don't eat. That's simple. Verse 5 says, "The counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Now he's speaking here about not only wisdom. Wisdom speaks of no superficiality, but my knowledge, my personality is deep. You know, what you see and what you hear is me. And this is the character that we want to develop in the Lord. It's got to be deep. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. That is not just superficial. Have you ever met people that are very superficial, and then you get to know them and there's nothing to them? He says the Christian should be deep, should be solid, should be genuine. And if he is, then as he's a wise man with discretion, he brings forth, he draws that understanding out. He brings it forth a little bit at a time, and he never runs out. Verse 6, he says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" People are always blowing their own horn, but one that is truly doing it of the Lord and from love, he never says anything. "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." That calls for example. Like pastor, like sheep. Like father, like son. Like mother, like daughter. That's scary. God forbid there should be two of us running around. We have to make sure that we model Christ. "A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes." And this is a reference to that man that is living under the direction of God and obedience to the word of God. When we have godly leaders, then the wicked are put out of the places of government. And we cannot look upon what is happening within this administration and blame one man. I mean, what we're reaping is 2 years of corruption. Because we are so messed up in terms of our government. I mean, the system, they don't even know how it runs. They just know it's running and they can't control it. It's out of hand, out of control. Verse 9 says, "Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leper change his spots? If they can, then can a man be made clean of his own efforts." Man is corrupt. Man's heart is filthy. Man's nature is depraved. His nature is to sin in private or in public. Sometimes more in private than in public. But nevertheless, he sins. That's the only thing that man can do consistently. Sin. You can bet your life on it. "Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord." And this proverb comes up readily through the Proverbs here, and it speaks about cheating. The Jews used to have 2 different weights. Both of them said, say, 9 ounces or 9 pounds, whatever. One would be lighter for purchasing, and one would be heavier for selling. This way they would get a better deal on both ends. Verse 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure or whether it be right. And I think this is something that we can all identify with. When we were growing up, our parents would say, you know, I don't want you hanging around with that Johnny kid. You know, I just don't like, you know, he's just the type of kid that's going to get you in trouble. You know, and our parents sometimes are wiser, even though they weren't Christians, they can see through certain kids, you know. They just, you know, they just know how to work their way around. They know how to get into things. And but we're young and we don't really know, so, oh, mom, you know, you're all fogies, you know, a bunch of nerds or something. You guys don't know what's happening. And yet they can see that wisdom because they've been there. Most of the time they were one of them. You see? Verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. I think of the natural abilities that God has given to us, the eyes. God's gifts that he gives to us. You know, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our bodies. Now, what are we using those members for? Are we using them to glorify the Lord? He's given them to us. What do I take into my eyes? What do I allow to come into my ears? What do I give my body over to? They're God's. They're to be used for his glory. And this is what the proverb is speaking about here. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. The slothful again here. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. We all do this when we go to the swap meet. How much? $2. Oh, that's cheap. Okay, a dollar. Okay. Then you walk away and say, hey, I burned that sucker. That's what he's saying here. Verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are precious jewels. Much better what comes forth from our lips. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge for him for a strange woman. In other words, he's speaking here about striking hands or being surety. Don't be a guarantee for a stranger. And if you do, take a pledge, his garment. And then he says, take a pledge of him for a strange woman. In other words, it's bad enough being an assurance or a guarantee for somebody, but being a guarantee for somebody that's going to be for somebody, you're really putting yourself out on a limb. More so for a strange woman. Solomon has much to say about that. Verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Oh, how true that is. Especially when we're growing up or we're in the world and we think we really are slick and we're really plotting our courses and we've got things going on ourselves and we've got two girlfriends or we've got a wife and a girlfriend and boy, we're just, you know, having our cake and eating it too, so we think, and all of a sudden we bite in and there's a piece of rock there and we knock our teeth out. You know, there comes a time when, you know, everything catches up. And how sweet it was while we were enjoying it, but then all of a sudden we come up against a brick wall, and then it's not so sweet. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And he's speaking here about having men around you which you can get advice from. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Stay away from talebearers. Stay away from the people that can't keep something confidential. And if you have something to share with somebody and it's confidential, make sure that they are trustworthy. Whoso curseth his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's pretty straightforward. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Honesty. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will recompense. God will do our fighting. Here it comes again. Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? You know, when we give our life to the Lord, God starts working in our life that many times we don't even understand why we did such things or why we yielded, and yet God has his hand upon us. How can a man then understand his own ways when God is working within him? Have you ever said something and you really didn't know why you said it, but yet there was a benefit in it from the Lord? Maybe he gave you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. There's many times I've been in counseling, and sometimes, you know, I'll say, well, you know, have you ever tried this? And just as I bring it forth, or maybe we're just talking, and all of a sudden I'm just listening, and I just share something. And as it comes forth, I just know that that was from the Lord, because I would never figure it out. And it was just it. And that happens many times. Now he says, it is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. In other words, the man that really disrespects the things of God and doesn't even inquire the things of God, and then afterward he says, oh, was that for the Lord? Or is that of the Lord? Or is that wrong? You know, instead of inquiring first. Plays dumb. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. In other words, to bind them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. He knows every secret little part of me. See, none of you know every little secret of mine. And even as husband and wives, we really don't know everything about each other. There are areas, even as husband and wife, that we will never know. But God, He knows everything about us. There's nothing we can hide. Verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head, even if it's just in their temples, because they have none on top. Wisdom. How neat it is that as we get old, we can manifest wisdom in our life, and that gray hair could stand for something, not just a wasted life. The blueness of wounds cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Chapter 21 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And this speaks of the control God has over the kings. Now, the book of Daniel tells us that Satan deceives the nations, and really Satan is the prince and the power of the air, and he is in control of the governments of the world. But at the same time, the Bible also shares with us that God does have his hand upon the things of the world. The ultimate purposes of God cannot be altered or thwarted. Yet we know that Satan is behind everything that is opposed to God. But here the proverb says that God has control of the leadership to an extent, and he directs them as the rivers. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Such was the slogan, and if anything could be written about the period of Judges, it says that every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. That would be the very same thing we could ascribe to our generation today. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. Everyone has their own standards. Everyone has their own criteria. Everyone has their own religion. You don't have one, make one up to suit yourself. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Samuel said the same thing to Saul in First Samuel 15:22. When Saul came back and disobeyed the command of God to destroy the Amalekites, and he brought back the best of the sheep and the oxen for sacrifice, and Samuel says, what is this that I hear, the bleating of the sheep? And Samuel said, oh, well, the people wanted to sacrifice. And he says, do you think it's better to sacrifice than to obey? We can't sacrifice anything to God. As a matter of fact, Isaiah in the first chapter says, you know, did I ever require any sacrifices from you? Do you think I'd have pleasure in thousands of rams? He says, I want you to obey me. That's what turns me on. This is a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Pride continually comes up within the proverb. And notice that it is a proud heart, that heart that is lifted up above the will of God. The thoughts of the diligent tend unto plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty only want. The man that is diligent in his thoughts, he tends to plentiness because he thinks things through and he makes right decisions. But the man that is hasty, he's only concerned with the immediate satisfaction or the immediate gratification. And he never looks beyond that, only the present. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Only temporary. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is forward or perverse and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Here's a contrast between the godly and the ungodly. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Amen. You know, when a woman is always brawling, when a woman is always complaining, when she's always yelling, when there's no peace at home, the man doesn't want to go home. There's no way. And I think many women tear down their own home because they don't use discretion. Even in the Lord, they tear down their own house with their own hands. Read the Proverbs, and this isn't only on women. I'm not a chauvinist, but I believe that women tend many times to have a loose tongue. The Proverbs not only say it, but so do the Scriptures. Men have problems with it too. As we get to the last chapter of Proverbs, we're going to look at the virtuous woman. And that's a beautiful model to really search out and to be diligent and seeking for those treasures to reap from. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. In other words, he always finds fault. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. It speaks of benefit through that. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Now that's heavy. What the Proverb is saying here is that when I see a need and I have the power to meet that need, if I just shrug it off and walk away, it says that I also shall cry at one time or another and I shall not be heard. There is a responsibility we have to meet needs when God points them out to us. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. I think Jacob is a perfect example as he sent gifts to Esau and he still wasn't convinced that he was going to live, and all of a sudden Esau fell upon his neck and instead of killing him, he started kissing him and he blew his mind. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now that's interesting because so many times we feel that we're alive because we're in hell. The Bible says, he that lives in pleasure while he liveth, he is dead while he liveth. You know, there are many people that are very healthy in the world, but if they don't know the Lord, they're dead while they live. It's just a matter of time before they really realize that. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Speaking about having your heart there where your treasure is. The wicked man shall be ransomed for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Once again, Solomon must have had quite a variety. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now, I think this is important. Just let me say this. I think there is a problem with the Christian mentality many times. And we feel that we should not make plans for the future. That if I have a savings, I'm not trusting in God. That if I make plans for my children to go to college, or if I make plans to make investments, if God blesses me or anything else, that I'm not trusting in God. And I say to you, that is wrong. What the Scriptures do speak against is trusting in those riches. For Solomon even tells us that even the ant works that he might lay up in store for winter. Jesus commended the steward when he was found to have been tampering with the books, and he called his debtors and he says, how many do you owe? He says, 10 bushels of wheat. He says, put down 2. And then he commended him and he says, that man was wiser because he made provisions of the mammon. Jesus Christ didn't commend him because he was wicked or because he lied, but because he at least he used wisdom to make provisions for his future. Let me tell you, I expect Jesus Christ back right now. But you know what? I equally want to use wisdom in case he doesn't come back, that I don't end up at the end of my life being old and I have to be a burden to somebody else and I'm a terrible testimony to God. And I believe that many Christians are going to be like that if the Lord does tarry, because they're always copping out to a spiritual cop-out. Oh, we live by faith, brother, day to day. Yes, but the scriptures don't speak against planning or looking into the future. I think that's a wrong teaching. There is that balance. I want to trust him day by day. I don't want to have my whole life so wrapped up and so figured out that I don't depend on the Lord. But he doesn't speak against using wisdom and knowledge. And I think that's very important because we hear too much on the other end. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. There's the tongue again. Proud and hasty scorners is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. There it is again. He covereth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The guy that never has anything, he doesn't want to work, he doesn't do anything. He's always coveting. He's always desiring to have something that somebody else has. And it kills him because he can't have it. But the righteous, verse 26, giveth and spareth not. The man that's directed by God, he gives even that he has. He makes provisions to give to those that don't have. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? This is beautiful for religious people, because they think that God has to honor what they sacrifice. He says it's an abomination. And usually most of the time when a religious person comes to God is because he needs something. Isn't that with a wicked mind? Using God as a genie? That's the only time they come to him. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. In other words, if you see something wrong, don't be quiet. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his ways, or his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Underline that. You're in the hands of the Lord. And sometimes you think that all things are against you. Isn't that what Jacob said? Oh, all things are against me, when he heard that Joseph was killed and Benjamin was going to go to Egypt. All things are against me. Even God. No. Romans 8 says, God is for us. Who can be against us? There is no counsel, no wisdom against the counsel of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is in the Lord. In other words, don't trust in the arm of flesh. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, the psalm says.
Pastor Xavier Rees with an encouraging reminder of where you'll always find a trusted source when you need direction for your life. More important simple truths from our verse-by-verse study of the Proverbs. Now, of course, CD copies are available of today's message for just $4. And the title you'll want to ask for is simply Proverbs chapters 19 through 24. And we'll be able to include everything Pastor Xavier shared with us the last time we were together as well. So once again, that title, Proverbs chapters 19 through 24. And here's where to write. Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And thanks for mentioning the call letters of this station when you get in touch. This helps us track the effectiveness of this ministry in your area. And then join us for more Simple Truths next time with Pastor Xavier Reese. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.